From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with stories that include mysterious explosive booms heard in at least 14 states. A U.S. Navy flight engineer sees silver disks. Extraterrestrial entities and technology, a training manual. She says it's authentic, and debunking the debunkers with Stanton Friedman, followed by conversations with Linda. Here's what's happening. Well, this is not good news. Scientists tracking the Ebola outbreak in Guinea say this virus has mutated. Researchers at the Institut Pasteur in France, which first identified the outbreak last March, are investigating now whether it could have become more contagious. More than 22,000 people have been infected with Ebola. 8,795 have died in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Mutating. The number of measles cases reported in the U.S. in January has now surpassed the total number of cases in previous years, and more adults are contracting the virus now. The virus is being traced back to a greater number of places than in previous years as well. As of Thursday, 84 measles cases reported in 14 states. Doesn't sound like a lot, but I guess it is. For most elementary school students, finding the cure for cancer probably isn't normal dinner table conversation. But for one 8-year-old girl in Britain, the topic came up and led to some successful lab results. Camilla Lisanti's parents are both cancer researchers at Manchester University. Over dinner, her father Michael asked her how she would cure this disease, and she suggested antibiotics. Like when I have a sore throat, she said. Well, Michael and his wife tested her theory at a lab, and guess what? They were surprised to find that several cheap, widely used antibiotics destroyed cancerous cells and samples from breast, prostate, lung, ovarian, pancreatic, skin, and brain tumors. Some of the antibiotics worked by preventing cancer cells from making energy-providing mitochondria, which cancer stem cells are prolific in. Most importantly, these common antibiotics tested did not harm healthy cells. Father believes that they could prove to be an effective and inexpensive treatment. Let's check in with Ty Bollinger, author of, course, Cancer Step Outside the Box. Ty, this is an amazing story.
Yeah, George, it's pretty interesting, isn't it? It makes a lot of sense in the fact that if the antibiotics were able to affect the mitochondria, which is basically the power plant of the cells, it's where they produce their energy, somehow if the antibiotics were able to do that, then they could kill off the cancer cells. You know, my concern with something like this is, to me, it's almost still more treating the symptom than getting to the root cause. So you're going to kill the cancer cell, which is a good thing. You want to get rid of the cancer
right.
cells. But at the same time, these antibiotics are also going to be destroying the good bacteria, the friendly flora in your gut. And that's going to lead to further problems down the road, I think, if we begin to try to treat cancer with antibiotics.
Isn't it amazing, though, that this simple thing would work? Did anybody ever test this before, Ty?
You know, I'm not familiar with anybody in the past that has tested antibiotics and their effect on the mitochondria. But it does make sense that it would kill cancer cells if it's able to stop the mitochondria from producing energy. And so I think, you know, maybe that's a temporary fix, very much like chemotherapy could be a temporary fix, right? You kill the cancer cell, but if you don't do something long-term to help that immune system to fight it off, it's probably going to come back. And so that would be my concern with this. But it is novel, though, isn't it, George? You got an 8-year-old thinking about how to cure cancer.
Unbelievable. It
yeah.
really is. Ty's website, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Iran, listen to this story. Iran is encouraging its terror allies to pursue the assassination of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's children by publishing personal information about them, including photographs of the kids lined up in crosshairs and declaring, "We must await the hunt of Hezbollah." The publication of the personal information and biographies of Netanyahu's children follows an Israeli airstrike last week that killed several key Hezbollah leaders and an Iranian commander affiliated with the country's hardline Revolutionary Guard Corps. Go after the kids, they say. Let's check in with John Curtis. He's the online columnist.com expert. John, they're taking off the gloves when they do something like that.
Well, I think it really shows, you know, Iranian political naivete and sinking to new lows in terms of, you know, their different news agencies. But families of politicians are always targets to assassination. So this is nothing new. I think the most significant thing that is going on with Hezbollah in Israel. And Hezbollah, as you know, is it's a Iranian-supported terror group based in Lebanon, and they are actively engaged right now in like a Vietnam-like war in Syria. So they have no interest in engaging in any more than these tit-for-tat attacks with Israel right now. And frankly, Israel has no interest with all of the problems with in the southern part with Hamas of getting into another one of these messy wars in the north. So I think it's just a lot of smoke blowing by the Iranians and, just the kind of irreverent speech that goes on frequently.
All right, John, thanks. We'll keep in touch. Got to talk with you further about some issues that are cropping up all around the planet. John Curtis, his website, onlinecolumnist.com. At least 26 people have been killed in a series of attacks by Islamic militants in the northern part of Egypt. A car bomb and mortars hit military targets there. A Soros-funded group arguing to replace the U.S. passport with a North American passport also appears ready to take up the mantle of championing the concept of a European Union-style regional government that we've talked about in this show for some time to supersede the sovereignty of the United States, Mexico, and Canada. In a moment, Jerry Corsi, who wrote a story for WND.com, will talk about this for the hour, and we'll take calls later on with him. The Malaysian government has formally declared the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 to be an accident, saying it all believed that the 239 people on board had died. Well, I want you to wait a few more weeks. Richard Belzer, the incredible researcher and actor, and David Wayne, and I put together a book called Someone is Hiding Something. It comes out in a few weeks with some theories beyond what you just heard. Those two, by the way, did a great job. I added my ingredients of the strange theories I think might have happened. The Federal Aviation Administration has produced a YouTube video reiterating that the Super Bowl is strictly a no-drone zone. The 15-second clip telling fans, hey, have some fun, but encourage them, leave your drones at home. And how about this? A Canadian man loses an appeal on missing the lotto jackpot, $27 million, by 7 seconds. He went and got the right numbers, but he was 7 seconds late. So rather than get the lotto ticket for that lottery, that one with those numbers, he got a lottery ticket for the next week with those numbers, and of course he didn't win then. And he appealed. He said, look, I'm only 7 seconds off. I wanted him that day. But he didn't win. Okay, Jerry Corsi up next. We're going to talk about, will passports be eliminated, and are they going to merge the United States, Mexico, and Canada? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Jerry Corsi with us. Jerry, of course, has received his Ph.D. from Harvard University in political science. He is a noted author. Among his books, Black Gold, Stranglehold, Atomic Iran, Hunting Hitler, Who Really Killed Kennedy. And, of course, he writes for WND.com, Joseph Farah's fine website and investigative tool for sure. Jerry, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
George, always great to be back with you. Thank you.
So good story. U.S. passports perhaps on the verge of elimination. This has been a plan of George Soros and his family for some time now, and they would love to have a merger of the United States, Mexico, and Canada. But why?
Well, it's a globalist plan that has been advanced. It's really not a partisan issue. It cuts across both parties. I mean, you'll remember that George W. Bush, in his presidency, had the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America that he declared at Waco, Texas, after a meeting with Mexico and Canada's presidents and Prime Minister of Canada. That goes back to 2005. And so now we have this Soros-funded group, the New American Foundation. In fact, George Soros's son is on the board. He's also a New York financier, quite wealthy, the son is. And this foundation is called the New America Foundation, and they wrote an article in their publications. It was picked up and put on CNN, which is where I saw it, and it basically called for that it's time for a new America, in other words, a North America regional identity, such that the article specifically said we need to get to obsolete the U.S. passport and start issuing North American passports, which is really the old North American Union idea.
Yep,
I said,
that's right.
Was now, you know, was championed, we remember, by the now late Robert Pastor, who was an American University professor, had always been one of the major champions of this whole idea of a North America to supersede, like the European Union superseded the individual countries of Europe. The same idea, we would merge the United States, North America, and Canada into a North American Union. And now we have a new article coming out. Soros funded, a very well-funded foundation. It even has State Department money in it, this New American Foundation, urging a North American passport to replace a U.S. passport.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, Jerry, you and I have been talking about this for years on this program. You've been writing about it in WND, about this one alliance, this alliance between Mexico, the United States, and Canada. And I suspect the ease of letting people across the border might have a lot to do with this plan one day to merge the three countries.
I agree with you, George. We have been talking about it. I've been on Coast to Coast with you, George, talking about this for a decade, going back to 2005. I wrote a book called The Late Great USA, if you recall.
That's right.
And you were one of the first to pick it up and cover it. We did a national broadcast. We covered that book. And the North American Union concept, you know, I show here, it's not only George W. Bush on the Republican side. I've got the video embedded in the WND article, which shows President Obama talking about, you know, easing relations with Cuba and saying in Spanish, todos somos americanos, you know, we are all Americans. And, of course, that's a reference to the Spanish where U.S. residents are called Norte Americanos, North Americans. And Obama is saying basically that all the Americas, Canada, Mexico, and the United States in Spanish are referred to as Americanos. So the idea is, and I think the open borders, and remember George W. Bush was as much an advocate as open borders as has been Barack Obama. This is not a partisan issue. It's much more important to look at the funding and who's going to benefit from this globalism when you get to the, you know, the international central bankers and you get to the multinational corporations that want global government or regional government so they can get the cheapest power, you know, erase boundaries, get rid of nation states. This has been George Soros' idea forever.
What's the plan, though? Why do they want to do that, Jerry? There's always, you know, follow the money, who benefits. Yeah. How do they make money doing something like this?
Well, George, I think you can see it happening right today. And this, again, is something we've been talking about for a decade, as I can remember talking about this on your show on Coast to Coast AM, you know, 2005, 2006. The idea is that if we can erase borders and you can get these trade agreements, we're going to have another round of them coming through Congress for fast-track authority, the Trans-Pacific and the Transatlantic alliances that have been negotiated, these trade agreements. The multinational corporations want to go get the cheapest slave labor they can get anywhere in the world. So if you can manufacture things, you know, for nothing, using virtually slave labor in China, and if that's not good enough, then go to Malaysia. If that's mm-hmm. not good enough, go to Bangladesh, and then have trade barriers reduced so that you can reconfigure the transportation systems and bring in these cheap goods in containers, huge container ships, which we now have. And I've been writing about it again, you know, a new Panama Canal, deeper, being built, being financed. China is one of the groups behind it. And the idea that you can connect both oceans and you can sail these huge cargo ships with goods made anywhere in the world. Take a look at America, the United States, and the decline in manufacturing. We've become a deindustrialized nation.
Oh, I know. We've gone from manufacturing to service, and I can't tell you how many empty plants I see whenever I travel around the country.
Well, go to Detroit and take a look at Detroit. You know, I mean, this is the problem. Franklin Roosevelt declared the United States was, you know, the arsenal of democracy because we could manufacture the tanks, the planes, the ships. We were doing lend-lease to Russia. We were doing lend-lease to Great Britain before we entered World War II, supplying both Russia and Great Britain with, go back to 1941, before we entered the war, with the military equipment that both countries needed in order to fight Nazi Germany. We were the arsenal of democracy. We were the manufacturing leader of the world. And today, the United States is deindustrialized. And this whole idea of a service industry, which has been sold to the American people by Democrats and Republicans alike, ends up being, you know, hamburger flipping. And yes, you can have service jobs, but they don't pay what the manufacturing jobs pay when you had an economy that was aimed not by the globalists, the bankers, the multinational corporations, but had legitimate labor unions looking for the interests of working people to earn an honest living manufacturing.
How would we vote, Jerry, if they do this, if they do this merger?
Well, you know, this is interesting that you have to take a look, George, to the European Union. Because it was the same model. I've been arguing this again, that in Europe, the same lies were told. Go back to the post-war period when you had the European coal and steel community that was created, I believe, in 1951. And the idea was, well, Europe after the war would all have one community for coal and steel, so you wouldn't have a nation like Germany getting a huge militarized army based on their ability to manufacture. This would be across the board in Europe. And the nations would no longer fight with each other, and you would have free trade zones. And the architects of this, you know, argued, Jean Monnet and the others who were arguing for a Europe to transcend the nation, the countries, the nation states, they said, oh no, this is just a trade agreement. It'll never be a regional government. And then you have the European common market, and that ends up evolving into the European Union, which is a full-scale regional government, which the architects, going back to Jean Monnet, knew it ultimately had to be. And you've got the same lies being told here in the United States, where we're being told, oh, no, NAFTA is just a trade agreement. And then suddenly we look and see the borders are open. We see that the manufacturing is gone. We're pushed into these multinational trade agreements, and George W. Bush finally declares Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, no congressional decree, no treaty between Mexico and Canada, and we've got all the working groups of the bureaucrats, you know, integrating the laws of the three nations with the idea that we'll have a North American Union, and now you've got Barack Obama in the White House proclaiming a todos somos americanos in Spanish from the White House, saying that we need to have a North American Union. And here's the intellectual underpinning when I find, you know, these articles with a Soros-funded group like this North American Foundation, a leftist Washington-based think tank that is now proclaiming in articles published on their publications and reprinted in CNN, that we should have a North American passport to supplant the U.S. passport, retire the U.S. passport, which is the beginning of considering the United States is no longer a sovereign nation, but we transcend into a North American union, a regional union. And coming down the pike right behind this is going to be the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Partnership, which Barack Obama is preparing to go to Congress and ask for fast-track authority. And you're going to see the Republicans supporting Barack Obama and the Democrats opposing Barack Obama, which should make it clear to everyone that this is a globalist movement, not partisan, not partisan politics. It transcends partisan politics. The globalists are happy to buy politicians on both sides of the aisles, the bankers and the multinational corporations in Wall Street.
Jerry, stay with us. We're going to come back and take phone calls from our listeners who are fascinated by what you have to say. Well, Jerry Corsi was my guest on Beyond Belief. We talked about his book, Who Really Killed Kennedy, and you can watch that program in the archives. It is free for you to watch when you fill out the information. So simply go to this website. Yeah, his information, by the way, was riveting. I remember the crew, camera people, the editors, everybody. They were just on the end of their seats just listening to Jerry. Just go to www.beyondbelief.com and fill out the information and watch that program and all the others, as many as you can. www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Dr. Jerry Corsi will take your calls. Jerry, how realistic do you think this merger of the three countries might be?
Well, George, I think it's actually getting to be almost inevitable because the pressure for it doesn't stop. You know, you take a look at the deep roots of this. You, George W. Bush, 2005, the Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America. We expose that. They drop the name Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America, and they continue the meetings, even today under Barack Obama, with the three countries. This North American Foundation, which is Soros-backed, and it's asking now for a North American passport to replace the U.S. passport. The CEO and president of that is Anne Marie Slaughter. Now, she worked as the director of policy planning in the State Department for 2 years for Hillary Clinton, and Slaughter has written a book in 2005 called A New World Order, in which Slaughter argued that the structure of global governance is already in place, international organizations and agreements, trade agreements, economic markets with trade barriers reduced, travel and information flow across borders, the Internet. She's arguing that we need regional government, ultimately world government. And this is the kind of view where the global bankers, the central bankers, the multinational corporations that have opposed borders and have, you know, argued lyingly that the trade agreements, the free trade agreements, would never be regional government. That was the arguments made in the European Union going back to the 50s, and it's being duplicated today in NAFTA. I think it's inevitable that the push will continue, Republican and Democrat alike, for NAFTA to evolve into a North American Union.
All right, let's take some calls here for you. Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where we go. Michael's with us on the wildcard line. Michael, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
I was just thinking that this North American amalgamation really has much less to do with money than some other things. These globalists have all the money. They already control the money. It's a matter of if they can eliminate the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights and suppress nationalism in the minds and hearts of people, people are going to be much easier to control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it's all about.
Jerry, it could be all about control.
I would agree. I think that that's actually, you know, the agenda is centered against the Constitution. It's centered against the Bill of Rights, the freedoms we have as Americans. I mean, the effort of Barack Obama to say, you know, the whole issue of leveling America, that we're the problem, that we need, you know, attack on American exceptionalism. And unfortunately, George, I think, again, this is both parties. This is, you know, there's deep roots. We're going to see, you know, who are the candidates the Republicans are advancing? Another Mitt Romney, Ron, Jeb Bush. Again, they are going to take $1 billion to run for president. Hillary Clinton, they're all globalists, and they're going to be basically arguing the same tune, and it's open borders, free trade. It's not going to have anything to do with advancing the dream of America that our founding fathers had that built the greatest country in the world.
You know, Jerry, as we look at how some of this unfolds, you know, it starts to trickle and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If this were to happen, are we talking 5 years, 10 years? How long?
Well, George, I think the globalists have a kind of a, a long perspective. I mean, take a look at Europe. The coal and steel agreements, the community, coal and steel community went into Europe in 1951. Well, you know, here we are today, 2015, which, you know, is what, something 65 years later, and we're just beginning now to see, you know, the European Union with a bureaucracy in Luxembourg and Brussels supplanting one by one the economies and the governance of each of the individual member countries. And, you know, the question is going to be, is the EU going to survive? But this globalist dream will continue because, yes, we are getting international connections, the internet, we are getting travel. You know, businesses are operating in a multinational context. And the globalists are going to naturally say, well, then let's transcend the nation states. It's an old idea. It led to wars in the 20th century. We don't want that anymore. But at the same time, we've got to ask what freedoms we're going to have under a global governance. How are we, you know, is free speech going to be tolerated? Are we going to be able to have a Second Amendment? These are fundamental questions that the globalists, you know, drip by drip, persist so that, you know, Robert Pastor, who fought this very hard until he passed away a year ago, I believe, at the age of 66, had fought for this North American Union. Well, now the mantle is taken up by this North American Foundation, and you've got, you know, new globalists like this Anne Marie Slaughter, who heads the New American Foundation, you know, publishing articles which plant the seed of the idea that we need a North American passport to replace the U.S. passport. And the borders are staying open. Even the Republicans in Congress, with the Tea Party vote in November, are not looking like they have the resolve to oppose Barack Obama as they said they would in many of the elections on the executive actions that Barack Obama used to defer prosecution for the parents of the Dreamer children, the children who have U.S. illegal immigrant parents or parents who are undocumented, and children who are U.S. residents or U.S. citizens, legal residents or citizens.
Well, because if two illegals have a child in this country, the child is a citizen, correct?
Yes, because they're doing, I believe, under the 14th Amendment, this birthright citizenship.
Yep.
And, you know, the idea is born in the United States, a citizen by birth. And so it's a very complicated situation.
It really is.
It's all moving towards a trans-border reality that is step by step, drip by drip, going back 2005. Where was the congressional authorization for George W. Bush to declare a security and prosperity partnership in North America? There was no treaty. There was no law. And yet this idea continues to persist, and Congress will soon be faced with granting President Obama this fast-track authority for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is one more major step in this global governance structure.
Let's go to Pam in Spokane, Washington. Thanks for calling, Pam, and you're on the air with us.
Hi, George. It's good to talk to you again. I was on briefly a while back when George Herndon was up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was not cut off. And anyway, the topic then was about the chemtrail thing. And he said, you know, he lives down there right over by San Diego. And I'm just recently from Riverside County. And the people I know down there for, you know, a few years now, we've been noticing the increase in the chemtrail, you know, cover. And you know, in our conversations, we kind of agree that, you know, they can put anything in there. I mean, you know, of course they could put a germ in there, but we're thinking more like, you know, to control people and make them either, you know, just confused, you know.
Well, that's okay. We'll finish it up for you. Chemtrails not to do with what we're talking about here today, Jerry, but you know what? It's control again.
Well, you know, George, if we just go back to the exact topic we're talking about, when you look at this article in this the New America, even look at the title, New America Foundation. I mean, I'm pretty happy with the America that our founding fathers gave us. Why do we need a new America? And if you read it, it says, like, in the North American context, much like within the European Union, our economies and societies are far more integrated that our immigration system recognizes, and the North American passport, much like the EU passport, would align our laws with reality. And that's how the globalists proceed. First, they change the reality. You know, there's open borders, there's free trade across borders, there's immigrant, and they say, okay, well, that now the reality's changed. Let's change the governance. Let's change the laws. Let's become not a European economic community, but a European Union, a full-scale government in Brussels and in Luxembourg, bureaucracy never elected by anyone that dictates the laws that Italy and France and Germany and all the other countries in the EU can pass.
I was going to say, will Americans have a say-so with this?
Not the same say-so we have today, and today it's less than it was decades ago. I mean, again, if fast-track authority is voted in the Congress for President Obama on this Trans-Pacific Partnership, all kinds of things can be slipped into this legislation that ultimately restrict the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment in the back door. And, you know, that's where, you know, the United Nations, these international agreements continually try to pass treaties and resolutions that transcend the laws of the United States. And by membership in these trade groups or membership in these international organizations, our laws are superseded by the international structure, even though no treaty as such was passed by Congress. And it kind of violates the very fundamental principle of our Constitution.
Culver City, California, it's Jeffrey's turn. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, George and Mr. Corsi. Yes, that 14th Amendment was originally written for African slaves, you know, and their children. But
that's
it's obvious
correct.
That there's going to be a new world order. Democracy and conservatism in the 21st century is slowly being replaced and becoming a plutocratic/technocratic society. But in addition to this, the United States and its counterparts on this side of the world are fully aware that there must be a merger like what George Soros envisions, not only for its own survival, but to make sure that such an alliance counters the Islamic nations, the BRIC nations, and even the European Union on our side of the hemisphere. My question is this, Mr. Corsi, if such a merger between the United States, Canada, and Mexico becomes a reality, do you believe that it will extend into Central and South America? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Inevitably, the idea is of the globalists that they first get regional governance, and then it merges over time into world governance, one world government. And what I'm cautioning people is take a look at the reality that under one world government, we're going to get slave labor, lowest cost of labor. The economies are going to erode, so the middle class goes away. Freedoms that were preserved by our founding fathers under our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our founding documents will be eroded. Government control will be massive. You'll have the NSA listening to everything and recording it all. I mean, this is a global governance nightmare where the fundamentally opposed to the idea of the founding fathers, which was to create liberties and freedoms that would be afraid of expanding government powers. This is expanding government powers to an exponential nth degree globally when our founding fathers taught us and cautioned us to be aware of government because government tends to control, suppress freedoms, and reduce economic activity whenever it gets power.
Indeed, it does, Jerry. I love Canada. I spend a couple great events up there every year. I'm not sure our Canadian neighbors want to be part of the United States.
Well, and George, you know, I'm married to a woman who is, you know, Italian and originally a nationality, born in Argentina, came to the United States legally at 14 years old. I mean, I speak Spanish. I travel internationally constantly. But, you know, I still love the United States of America. I want to be able to enjoy Canada and enjoy Mexico as sovereign nations, not as the end of the United States of America. I want to see other nations in the world come up to the level of where the United States was. And this was achieved through the freedoms, through the economic vision of free enterprise that our founding fathers put in the Constitution, not government controlling everything, not the idea that you didn't create that job. You know, this type of thinking, Democratic and Republican alike, this globalism, I think, is a major threat to you, to freedom and to, you know, economic achievement by the human race as a whole.
Let's go to Jeff in Olathe, Kansas, now east of the Rockies. Jeff, thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Jerry, you're spot on. George, spot on. This is just nothing but it makes me livid to think how many American soldiers have died to maintain our liberty so that we could maintain our sovereignty as a nation. Without sovereignty, we are headed for slavery, period.
There's no doubt about that. Jerry, everybody seems to be spot on in this one.
Well, and I agree.
We see
with
right through
comments.
It.
Yes, and I think, you know, the American heroes, including our military today, which are fighting for freedom. They're not fighting for North American Union. We fought for the United States of America and our founding documents and the vision our founding fathers gave us. And this is a vision that could be shared by the world, and the achievements we've had as a nation can be shared by the world. And instead, you know, if we're going to serve the international bankers and the globalists and the, you know, the merge everything into one world government, have the NSA rule it all, listen to everything, and, you know, we are headed to a very dark future. And that's what, George, I've been trying to warn people. Your program has been tremendous in that you, George, understand it and have picked up on this. We've been talking about it for a decade, and I fear, again, by stealth, you know, the wolf is right back at the door.
Jerry, a couple minutes to go. Let's take some final calls here, but I do want you to get out your website and some more information on where people can track you.
Well, George, certainly I write for WND, WorldNet Daily, WND.com, and I'm publishing there almost every day. And I've come up with some new ebooks. I have an ebook. Go to CourseyOnJFK.com. And I'm continuing to write on a constant basis. My most recent hardcover book was No Greater Valor on the Battle of Bastogne and the great courage of the troops at the end of World War II who held out against the Germans in the Battle of the Bulge. No Greater Valor.
Now, you did a great job for us on Beyond Belief when you were on, by the way.
Oh, George, that was a great show. I loved your Beyond Belief, and I thought the discussion on the Kennedy assassination, which again has to do with, you know, the CIA beginning to take over America, the lying that we've had from within our own government. The truth of the JFK assassination is more urgent to come out now than ever. And I've done this ebook because there's great research going on. I'm trying to feature all those workers in the field out there that are coming up with new discoveries about the JFK assassination. The book is Who Killed Kennedy. Go to CourseyOnJFK.com. It's an ebook. And it kind of follows with my No Greater Valor, NoGreaterValor.com. I believe in the valor of the Americans who have fought and died and bled through the decades for this vision of a free nation, you know, under God, with the American Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the whole vision of liberty, freedom, tolerance that we've had as Americans. And if we lose this, I think it will be a tragic day for the world.
I think so, too. Jerry, thanks for being on the program. We'll talk with you later at depth again. Jerry Corsi, incredible story, how they, one, want to do away with passports and then do away with countries. Up next, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with some incredible stories of high strangeness.